This episode is sponsored by Turtle Pearl Yarns. And you heard it here first, folks. We have a new colorway announcement here on the podcast from Turtle Pearl. The new colorway is Wild Rose. And if you aren't familiar with Turtle Pearl Yarns, they are an indie dyer that makes self-striping sock yarns. And they give you the sock yarns in two 50-gram hanks that are perfectly matched, so you can have two identical twin socks and not just fraternal twins with kind of mismatched stripes. Now, these absolutely match, and I use their yarns all the time. I'm a big fan of Turtle Pearl. And the new colorway, Wild Rose, will send you dreaming of waterfalls cascading from the peaks of the Canadian Rocky Mountains in Alberta. Beautiful hiking trails, fast-flowing rivers, and rolling foothills are carefully decorated with wild roses everywhere you look. Wild Rose has hues of rose with a soft pop of butter yellow, crisp green, soft taupe, and dreamy blue. Whether you live in Alberta or it's on your bucket list to visit, Wild Rose will keep those dreams alive. And this colorway, this brand new colorway, will be available April 5th, this Friday at 8 p.m., Atlantic Standard Time. And I know that's important because the last time we announced a new color, it sold out really quickly. So you got to get in there. You have to set an alarm for yourself. And we have a coupon code, of course. The coupon code is VPAPR2019. And that's kind of confusing. So I will have a link to the Turtle Pearl Yarns Etsy shop and the coupon code all listed out. That's for 15% off. Again, Friday, April 5th at 8 p.m., Wild Rose, new colorway. Be sure to check it out, and it'll all be in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from. And this is episode 138. So if you want to see the show notes for this episode, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page. And there you will find the things that we link to, coupon code for our sponsor, et cetera, all under episode 138. So, Casey, good morning.
Good morning.
It's cold again here in Austin. One last gasp of
our
cold
third
weather.
Winter.
Yeah. And well, we were just talking about the possibility of you taking a camping trip with your family. And this is this last weekend would have been the last chilly weather camping trip. And
right. From
here on out, it's going to be
warm.
Well, thinking about being outside and not being in air conditioning is kind of miserable. That's how it turns around here. But I'm also thinking about all of the knits that I've been wearing for the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And getting things clean and packed up, airtight.
I haven't done that yet.
No, I haven't done it yet because I'm still wearing socks and scarves and stuff today.
I was going to wear my super heavy duty cardigan yesterday. I'm like, maybe if I wear a tank top, I can wear this cardigan. But it's like, it wasn't that cold.
The one you just finished with the steek in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that.
But it's super, I mean, it's bulky. It's like, I can't wear that if it's 50s. It's
yeah. Well, okay, you just need to store it properly, which is what I'm getting to,
yes.
Is because I have a video out called Storing Knits for Summer, and it talks about what I do, because I'm sure it's like this in a lot of states. In Texas, we can't just leave stuff out because the moths will definitely get it. Like a few years ago, I left, I forgot about a dog sweater in the coat closet by the front door. I forgot about a dog sweater and it didn't get packed up. And then the next winter when I pulled it out, it had huge moth holes in it.
Oh, no.
And it was just for that one summer, those few months that it was out. And so now I'm thinking, geez, I'm glad it was just a dog sweater and not a Stacy sweater. That would be terrible. So I'm really careful about it. But so I store things in enormous Ziploc bags. But I just discovered that Ziploc has come out with these bags that are more like 2 feet by 2 feet. They're a lot smaller and they come in like a box of 10 or something. Those are the thing. They're so much easier to handle than the enormous bags. And that's what I'm using. And I'm hanging them on, you know, a coat hanger through the handle. I can use hanging closet space to store them, not just under the bed space. So I'm ready. I have the Ziploc bags. I'm ready to wash this stuff and get it stored and not let the moths get it. Have you had stuff eaten up by moths here in Texas?
Knock on wood, no.
Okay, knock on wood indeed.
A friend of mine, I don't know if she listens, but she had her kitchen infested with moths many years ago and had to throw out all their food. There's food moths that will get into your cabinet.
And we have an episode title, Food Moths. I didn't know that there was such a thing. I mean, we have all kinds of creepy crawlies here in Texas, but I didn't know that moths were a kitchen. Gosh, knock on wood, I do not want that to happen in this house.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this episode, we are prepared to magically turn knitting questions into knitting answers. Are you ready with the questions, Casey?
I am ready.
Okay, let's go ahead.
So the first one's a follow-up. It says, after two bad bouts of elbow pain from knitting afghans, I had PT and did all the exercises, bought the recommended exercise tools. I got Carson Demmer's PT book called Comfortable Knitting. He makes one suggestion that changed my knitting life. Always support your elbows, never knit in the air. Place your forearms in a pillow or on a pillow or anything else on your lap. I was in a knitting class last week and took off my sweater and leaned on that. It works. No more pain. Leslie.
That's interesting. Thank you, Leslie. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this before, Casey?
Yeah, and I've actually looked at his stuff before. I may try to reach out and see if he can be on our podcast. That would be great.
Oh, there we go. You're always thinking. This is something that I've always done. I don't support both of my elbows, but like the way that I knit when I'm really comfortable is that I support my left elbow.
Yeah.
And my right elbow is kind of in the air or against my body or something, but my left elbow is always supported. And that's, I don't know. I think as far as knitting a lot of hours without pain, I do pretty well. I think you just have to find your thing. But I'll have to check that book out too, because I have not heard of this. I didn't know there was a whole book devoted to knitting comfortably. Awesome. Thank you again, Leslie.
Unfortunately, that's not going to help me. It hurts to lean on my elbow.
No, you're so close to surgery day.
Okay, question. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I love listening to your show and I've learned a lot from your podcast and from watching your videos, Stacey. Though at first I had to get used to your knitting style because here we knit continental in the continental way, but I always look at your videos when I need knitting help. I have a question regarding interchangeable needles. Does it ever happen to you when you're knitting with interchangeable needles that the needles loosen from the cord? I have needles that are called Nova Platina, which are considered good, and sometimes it happens, mainly when I'm knitting big projects. Do you have any advice? Do you maybe fasten it regularly while knitting? I would also like to say that I knitted wool socks the other day using toe-up sock recipe from you, and it came out great. I like this method much better than knitting from the top down. Thank you so much, Sigrun from Iceland.
This might be our first Iceland question.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Sigrun. Couple things here. The first one isn't a question, but she said she had to get used to the way I knit in the videos because she knits continental. And, this comes up all the time from people where I, especially on YouTube, people comment and they say, can you do this, this technique in a video for continental knitters? And my response is always the same. This technique is, the same regardless of which hand you use to hold the working yarn. And that's the truth. I mean, there are some things that are a bit different between continental and English American knitters, depending on whether you hold your working yarn in your left hand or your right hand. And when that's the case, I always point it out in the videos, this looks a little bit different to continental knitters, And usually it has something to do with the yarn over, because yarn overs, and especially for beginning knitters, yarn overs end up looking really different depending on which hand you're using. But the techniques are always the same. The only time it isn't the same is for something like mirror knitters or combination knitters. But most of us are continental or American English knitters, and so my videos work that way. Okay, that's just something I wanted to say because it does come up all the time. And this this question that Synchron has sent, it does come up all the time from people saying, I have this interchangeable needle set, but it's so frustrating because the needles keep coming detached from the cord. And every time I get back to them and tell them, you have to use the little key to tighten up the needle to the cord. There's a little key that you poke into the base of the cord and you tighten the needle up, hand tighten it with that key in there. That's the only way to tighten it. And when I tell them that, they're like, oh, I didn't know what those things were for. And it's a truth that when you get a needle set, there doesn't always come with instructions on, you know, what's what. And so it's not surprising, but you have to use the key. And I'll tell you that I have been using interchangeable needle sets for, since they really became popular, like the style that we see now with like Knitter's Pride and Knit Picks and stuff. And I don't think I've ever had a needle come apart using the
really?
System.
Wow.
No, if it's tightened, what, have you had a, have you had?
Yeah.
You have?
And I'm pretty sure I always use the key to tighten it, but sometimes just, you know, knitting, especially heavier stuff.
Gosh, I've never had it happen.
I've had
Addie Clicks come apart on me because you just have to push in and twist. It's, I mean, it can happen, but I mean, we're talking like once or twice in 10 years I've had that happen, but if I tighten up, maybe I have a death grip on
your needles. I know, I was going to say, maybe you're like super tightening.
Yes, I don't know. It's always enough and I never have a problem with them coming apart. But usually when I tell people, they realize that they hadn't been doing that and they didn't even know about it. So I'm surprised to hear from you that you have been doing it and they come apart sometimes. I don't know. I guess the answer would be then if it's if it does happen sometimes and you are using the key to just check it every now and then, make sure it's tight. I mean, it kind of is what it is. Like maybe if people knit differently, it'll happen to some people and not others. I have never had a problem with it. And I knit enough that if there's going to be a problem with something, it usually presents itself.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it falls off. I've had it fall off with the Addie Clicks, but usually I can see it coming when it's loose.
Right. You can feel that something's a little bit different or then you're getting a lot of spin on the needle or something.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yep. Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I really appreciate your work with the videos, patterns, and especially the podcast, which I find really entertaining while also being useful. Here's my question. I'm designing a pair of socks, and as usual for the foot part, I knit the sole and stockinette and the upper part in pattern. My problem is that the two patterns have a really different gauge, 7.5 stitches per inch in stockinette and 9.5 stitches per inch in the pattern. So I'm wondering which of the two gauges should I use to calculate how many stitches I need for the foot circumference, or if I should use both and in the end have a different number of stitches for the front and the back of the foot, 30 stitches for the stockinette sole and 38 stitches for the pattern in the upper part. Sorry, Casey, for the long question, just as I was losing my voice. Thanks for your help and keep up the good work. Martina from Italy.
Hi, Martina. I'm going to go ahead and give a summary of this question. She's designing a pair of socks and the bottom is stockinette, but the instep, the top of the sock, she's doing in a pattern, which I'm guessing is maybe a lace pattern or a cable pattern. And she's getting two different gauges. And this is actually a really easy answer. You do want to measure the circumference using both. You're going to want to give a gauge in the pattern, and I would just use stockinette for the gauge measurement in the pattern. But, you know, it's going to be stockinette plus the lace or cable pattern that's going to equal the circumference. So you're going to want to take both of those things into account. You're going to have to. I mean, if you only took one into account, you'd end up with something way too wide. If you only took the other, you end up with something way too small. So you do have to take both. And it's almost right down the middle as far as stitch counts go, 30 stitches on one and 38 on the other. All part of designing. Got to figure that out. But yes, you do want to use both.
All right. All right, this is a short one. Ready to spend some real money on both a set of DPNs and some interchangeables. Knitter's Pride is high in the running, but the choices even within that company are paralyzing me. Help. Jeannie from Minnesota.
Hi, Jeannie. Okay, this is a good question because I have a really solid answer for this. A few years ago, I did a video series for Knitter's Pride called Find Your Needle, and we'll go ahead and link to this their YouTube channel in the show notes. It's four videos, and I talk about the different needle types, different needle materials, you know, everything there is to know. And it's focused on Knitter's Pride needles, but it really does explain, you know, metal, bamboo, wood, different materials and, you know, how they suit different kinds of knitters. It can be overwhelming because there is so much. Kind of in general, I would say that bamboo needles are great if you are a really loose knitter and you have a problem with stitches jumping off the needle, or if you have some mobility issues or arthritis or something, bamboo is a good choice. Wood is a great all-purpose needle. I use them all the time, laminated wood. And then the slick chrome needles, the metal needles, are good if you're a fast knitter and you just want to pick up speed. That is very general and with the different needle types. Casey, what is your go-to? Do you have a go-to needle material?
I really like the bamboo for double points, just because I feel like when I'm doing double point, things are more likely to be slippery.
Exactly. So, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking because I have some metal double points that it's just, I feel nervous when I'm using them.
The Knitter's Pride bamboo double points in the larger gauge sizes, like starting at 4 and going up to 10, those, I use bamboo for that because a metal needle would kind of be heavy and slip out of everything. So, but I like to use metal DPNs for socks because of the speed.
Yeah.
And there isn't so much of a risk of things falling out. But when you're using, like when you just knit that big sweater, were you using wood or metal?
For the body of it, I was using, what was I using? Oh, the, Luca. How do I say that? The
Luca. Yeah.
Luca. And then I think I had to switch between, I had some metal ones, but the way the sweater is written, you have to switch between three different sizes on the sleeves because like the actual color work is done in a larger. And so, one of mine, though, just the sizes that I had that I needed, one of them are actually cubic metals. And those are just hard because it was chunky yarn, cubic metals. They're kind of heavy.
Right.
They were slippery. And then the ones that I had to use for most of it were Brittany needles, which are those wooden.
Wood
they were
ones.
Huge.
Yeah.
And I like those a lot.
Wow, you were all over the place.
I had like all this. I actually used, because it's such a big, chunky thing. I bought like a comforter, and the bag that comforters come in are the best because they're big zipper.
Oh, right.
And I use that to store it. And I think I kept it because I may store the sweater in that because it's just this big zipper bag.
You know, I get those when I buy sheets or a quilt or whatever. I get those bags and then I don't really have a use for them, but I always feel bad throwing them out because it's like a zipper and they fit under. Yeah.
They're great for knitting, storing yarn and stuff like that.
Well, I don't think they're airtight, though. That's why I don't use them for storing yarn. Or
some of them have like a hole where the handle is or whatever.
Oh,
but
right.
Anyway, and then the interchangeables, my favorites change. I like different interchangeables for different things.
Yeah,
so
me
I can't
too.
Give you an answer.
Well, I have been stuck on Knitter's Pride Ginger for a few months now. They are my absolute go-to for everything. That's all I've pretty much been using. But then, you know, ask me in a few weeks. I'm sure I'll be using metal needles or Addies or something else. I like a lot of different needles, but I do my best to, and it's my job. I have a lot of different needles to choose from that a lot of people don't have. And so I really do my best to help people with their knitting style and their needs and direct them towards, because most people, you know, they get one interchangeable set and that's their set of needles, right? They don't, they don't have six other ones to choose from. So I do try to help people. And that video series does help you identify, you know, the kind of knitter you are and what will maybe suit you best. But as far as answering this question goes, you can also, if you have an idea of what you think you want, just buy one fixed set and give them a try before you invest in the interchangeable set to make sure you like them.
Yeah. Good tip. All right. Hi, Stacey. I have a question. Advancing stitches. I would love to be able to knit more than 3 or 4 stitches before poking my finger to advance my stitches. I can, however, purl 8 to 12 stitches without having to advance. Is poking one's finger over and over typical in the world of knitting? I'm a continental knitter, by the way. This is a question that I don't really see being discussed. I know it's not a race, but I'd like to be more efficient and not have a sore finger. Especially when I knit socks. Thanks so much for reading my inquiry, Beth in Minnesota.
Okay. Hi, Beth. This is funny. I don't think I've ever answered this question before, but if you watch most knitters, I would say that most knitters, in my observation, don't use the tip of their right finger to push the tip of the left needle to advance the stitches. You knit, and depending on the gauge you're knitting, and if it's really big stitches, you can only knit 3 or 4 without stopping, scooching everything along, knit, scooching everything along. But if you watch other knitters and see, you don't have to do that. You know, just, I think, like, it's hard to explain this. I want to make sure I'm not making something too visual. But using the tip of your left finger or middle finger on your left hand, whichever one that you use that I call the hall monitor finger, to monitor the movement of the stitches on the left needle, just get good at using that finger to help advance those stitches and to control just one at a time. It's a hall monitor after all. Hmm. So really squish the stitches up on the left needle. Really pack them onto there. And then use your hall monitor finger to just advance one stitch at a time. Do not poke the tip of the left needle with your right forefinger. Don't put a hole in that finger and just see how many you can get. And just, I mean, it's the sort of thing, anytime you're working on changing up the way that you knit or doing something different, it just takes a lot of focus at first until it becomes a habit. Casey, do you poke the needle into your finger to advance stitches? Are you one of those
people?
I wish
I had some knitting here because I think I do, but I mean, I'm not jabbing my finger, so.
Well, yeah, you can though if you're using a sharp, small needle for sure. And I've seen people, or I've heard people tell me that, yeah, I've got a Band-Aid on my finger because I was knitting and I poked myself 8 million times. It's like, wow, that's not very fun.
Wow. I don't know. I have to go test.
You have to go test. You'll have to get back to us.
You have to wait. I have knitting in the other room. Hold on. No, I do, but I don't think I do it so much that I need a Band-Aid on my finger.
Yes. And I know that I do it sometimes too, if I'm just, you know, almost to the marker or something and I'm not going to scooch everything up. I might just knit the last couple of stitches and poke the needle, poke the tip of my finger with the needle to advance those stitches. But really, I do cram up the left needle with stitches as tightly as possible and then start knitting so I don't have to keep stopping and advancing. One time I was teaching a class. This is funny. One time I was teaching a class and the class was going well and everything, but there was one woman, it was a beginner's class. There was one woman in the class and she was so annoyed with knitting. And she was kind of mad. And I said, "So what's going on? What can I help you with?" And because I was going around the table helping each person individually after we had learned something. And she said, "Well, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. I have to keep moving stitches close to the tip and away from the tip, like the whole time I'm knitting." And I said, "Yeah, part of it. That's part of what we do is we have to move the stitches along the needles to work them." But I don't think she probably ended up being a knitter because that part of it just enraged her. It was she might have had
something
else.
She wanted to like have it coming along on like a conveyor belt.
Yes, she does. She does need like some kind of automated stitch advancement without having to do it with her hands. Yeah, she might have had some other issues going on at the time that were frustrating her for something like that to get her so annoyed. I don't know, but it was, this was a class I taught probably, you know, 8 years ago or something. And I still remember that's the only time that's occurred where someone was so annoyed with, I mean, it was like, she felt like, this isn't what I signed up for. Why is this happening?
Right.
Well, it kind of is what you signed up for. That's what we get to end on a laugh this time because that's all we have time for this week, Case.
Okay.
If people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Yes, thank you. And if you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And that is it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.